Good morning, everyone. Appreciate your presence so much. Welcome to those in the auditorium and welcome to those online. We're certainly glad to have all of you. We have visitors and like to welcome our visitors today and appreciate you being here and invite you back at every opportunity. As we begin our worship service, I'm going to read a scripture found in Hebrews. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the first 8 verses, if you look following along. And it reads like this. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you and who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the welcome of the outcome of their conduct. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's begin our worship with song. Josh is leading singing.
Good morning. We begin our worship and song with Faith is the Victory. Sing one that you won't have in the hymn book, All to Us. That's a newer song we were going to try this morning. Hopefully I can sing it correctly off one piece of paper. If I'm not singing the same words that are up there, just go with the words that are up there and I'll try to catch back up with you. Let's stand as we sing.
Precious
cornerstone, sure.
be seated. We'll sing number 490, 490. It is well with my soul.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you glory and honor and thanks. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for giving us so many blessings. And Lord, we know that every good thing that we have in our lives is thanks to you and from you. And Lord, we know the greatest gift that we have from you is your grace, the forgiveness we have of our sins, the free gift of love from your Son. And we celebrate that gift here today with each other. And Lord, we pray that the joy that we have and the thankfulness that we have for that gift, that you would help us to use that to in turn share your love, share the love of Jesus with others. Lord, please empower us through your Spirit that this week we can be able to show kindness and compassion and love to those that we meet in our lives. Help us to be wise in the things that we do, and help us to be quick to be generous to others. And Lord, while we're all here and gathered today, we pray that you would help us to in turn bless each other and build each other up. Help us, Lord, to bear with one another and strengthen each other in the trials of life. And help us to strengthen each other. Lord, bless us as we go throughout the rest of this service. Help us to learn. Help us to sing. Help us as we pray to you. And help us to focus on you and ready ourselves for serving you this week. Forgive our sins, Lord. And in your Son's name, amen.
If you are using a hymnal, take this time to place your marker at number 902. Place your marker at 902 as our song of encouragement this morning. Once you have your marker there, we'll sing number 412. Number 412, Jesus, Hold My Hand.
As I travel through this field, Jesus.
children's training class will be starting shortly. So at this time, if your kids are going to be going to children's training class, if you would conduct them there, that would be fantastic. Children's training class beginning shortly. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read 7 through 14. But I would like to make an observation or two before we start reading it. And that is that when we get to 14, that's not the end of it. The next chapter, verse 1, talks about therefore, and he makes some conclusions. So don't think of the last verse as the end of the matter. And the lead-in to this is talking all about the Jewish high priest and how that they were offered sacrifices for themselves and then for the people. And so then he reaches and talks about Jesus and the high priesthood. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save from death. And he was heard for his godly fear. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made complete, he became the source of everlasting salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain since you are become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have had their faculties trained by patience to distinguish good from evil.
Jesus, we believe you are all to us. I love that psalm. First time we've sung it as a congregation in this setting, but it sounded like a lot of you were listening to the song during the week that was connected to Daily Focus, because it was well sung. I really like it. But you know the best part? In beyond how well we may sing a song, that's not really the point. If I can say what is in my heart, and if I was really saying at that time, Jesus, you are all to us, to me, that's what makes this song great. And I trust that's the case with all of you, I hope. Every one of you, as you were singing, were thinking, he is. He is everything to me. And that's where we want to be. And that's why we come together on the Lord's Day and at other times, is so we can draw nearer to God and learn more reasons to praise him, to make him the center of our lives. And so we're glad to do that. And we're glad you're with us today. We've got a good number. We've got visitors with us. I've already met a couple of visitors from Chicago. We don't often have visitors from Chicago. And we have others with us from other places, some here in the community. We're glad you're with us, wherever you're from. And if we can be of help to you in any way, please let us know. We'd love to be of assistance if we can. And all of you that are watching or listening online, we are thankful again that you're with us. We would love for you to be here with us in the building. But until that day comes, if it comes, we're thankful that you're worshiping with us. And so it's just good to be together. We're so glad for that. Let me say that after the invitation song, I'm leaving. Well, I always do. I usually wait until after the Lord's Supper. But today is the day that I'm designated to preach up at the prison. And they have changed some things up there, and we've got to be there earlier than we used to have to be there. And so that means I'm going to have to leave before the Lord's Supper. And you're thinking, well, when are you going to take the Lord's Supper? I'll take it with my brothers in Christ at the prison. And there are several of those up there. And so if you look for me afterwards, I won't be here, but it's not because I'm offended by you. I may be, but that's not the reason I left early. But please understand, that's the reason why I have to get out quickly. And there's three or four other fellows that will be going with me at the same time. So keep our brothers in prison in your prayers. There's many others that are seeking for a better way to live. Pray for them as well. And they may be watching this video later. And if you're watching up at the prison, hello. We're so thankful you're with us as well. But before we get into our lesson this morning, and by the way, tonight at 6 o'clock, come back and join us. Tim Haywood is going to be preaching, right? Don't give me that. That doesn't encourage anybody to come back. All right. He is going to be preaching this evening. So we hope you will be here for that. But before we get into the lesson, we've been asked to offer a prayer for our brother Ed Kelly. Ed, if you've been keeping up with it in Daily Focus, is now under hospice care. He has acute leukemia. And Ed and his wife, Randy, are just wonderful Christians. I'm sorry, many of you haven't gotten to know them. They moved here not long before his health took a very serious downturn. But wonderful Christians, and we're going to be praying for God's help. I understand he had a really tough night last night. We're also going to be remembering in our prayers Jody Martin, Jody's father, Joseph, whom we have been have had on our prayer list just for the last couple of days, passed away yesterday afternoon in Louisiana. And so we're going to pray for Jody and his wife Elizabeth and for all of the family that will be gathering in Louisiana for that service. But let's go to God in prayer. Will you bow with me, please? Our God and our Father, we praise you, Lord. You are everything to us. You made us. You breathed life into these bodies. These souls that inhabit these bodies will never die. And you've made it so that we can spend eternity with you if we will make that choice. And Father, we pray that we will always walk in the footsteps of your Son and be ready for our departure whenever that time comes. Right now, Father, we want to pray for our brother Ed Kelly. We know this is a hard battle he is fighting, has been fighting for some time. We marvel at his faith and the faith of his wife Randy, and we feel wonderful in that respect for them, Father, but we beseech you, Lord, that if it be not against your will, you would deliver him, that you would restore his health, and let him again be back with us, because we love this couple, Father. But Father, whatever your will is, be with him and help him in whatever ways are best. Please watch over him, Lord. And we also pray for the Martin family. We didn't know Joseph, but we know Jody. And Father, we know this is a great loss for Jody and Elizabeth and for all of the family. Please give safety to those who are traveling to be together. And let them be comforted as they go through this time of mourning. We know, Lord, there are many other needs right here in this building and others that we know. Look down upon us, Father. Bless us as you see we need blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get into the Bible. Open your Bible or turn it on. Let's look into God's Word. I hope you'll follow with me as we go to these passages, and that you'll be looking at them as I read them out loud, and that way we can work together to make sure that we are hearing God's word. I'm probably not the only one, but I like orchids. I love orchids. I think they're one of the most exotic and beautiful flowers. I also know they are very hard to keep alive. That's true with most plants for me. I did okay with gardening, but house plants I've not done so well. But when people have given us orchids, and there have been a couple of occasions, and the leaflets that come with them, the information says, you can do this, and I trust that I can, but I'm not so good about reading and following the instructions when it comes to orchids. But if I did, I believe I could, keep them alive and thriving. But unfortunately for me, that's just not happened. Well, we're here not to talk about flowers. We're here to talk about God's promises, the wonderful promises of God that He gives us. And they have such fragrance, such joy and peace and love. And God says, you can have this. I mean, regardless of where your life has been in the past, you can have this fragrance in your life. But is it automatic? Does it just happen? Or is it somewhat conditional on how we respond to the grace of God? And that's the point I'm going to try to help you understand today, if you don't already. And that is, the promises of God are there. They are sure. But we have a part to play as well. We're talking in 2023 about back to the Bible. That would be the solution to many of our problems. Let's get back to the Word of God and find out, what did He say about this or that? And today we're going to be talking about the idea of righteousness, how that is connected with the promises of God, and how is it that we can make sure the promises of God are alive and thriving in our lives. Let's look at that together from God's Word. First of all, let's talk about how the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Now, if you go into my office, you'll notice on my wall, one of my walls, there is a framed document that says, I am a Kentucky colonel. And I am. I've been since 1991. A governor of Kentucky signed that proclamation. And you may say, well, so what? Well, did you know that being a Kentucky colonel opens so many doors for me and people that would normally not look at me? No, that's not true. To be honest, it's decoration. It's decoration for my wall. I'm proud of the fact I'm from Kentucky. I am a Kentucky colonel, but what does that mean? Not so much, unless I'm around other Kentucky colonels. Maybe then it would. But what about with God? Is it just decoration to say that I am righteous? Or does it have real power to open doors, to unlock blessings? Well, you be the judge. Let's look at some passages in the Word of God, and you see for yourself what the Bible says. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Here we have God speaking to a man named Noah. Noah has finished the construction of this enormous ark, and he's about to get on board. And the meaning of that is, Noah and his family, there were seven others in his family, they would be the only ones that would escape the worldwide flood. Now, what was it about Noah that gave him that distinction? Well, here's what God says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous, that you are righteous before me in this generation. It made a difference to God that Noah was righteous. In fact, it says nobody else was. The earth was filled with people that were only thinking about evil and wickedness always. That was their obsession in life. And yet here is Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And why? Because he was righteous. And God saw that, and it made a difference in how God treated him. Let's look at another passage. Go to Psalm 11 and verse 7. Psalm 11 and verse 7. And again, the idea is, does it matter to God if I'm righteous? And by the way, the word righteous simply means I try to do what's right. May not always get it right, but I'm trying. I try to do what's right. So Psalm 11, verse 7. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. Now that's a pretty powerful verse. Number one, it says God loves righteousness. He is. He is righteous. And He loves people that do righteous things. And those who are upright, and that would mean people that do righteous things, they will behold His face. And that is a distinction reserved for a very few. the people that are trying to do what is right, they will behold the face of God. So again, wow, this really does mean righteousness is more than decoration. It is a key that unlocks blessings. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verses 15 through 17. This is a passage that Peter will quote in his letter. But in Psalm 34, beginning in verse 15, here's what the psalmist says there. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. In other words, he's watching them. He's listening to them. Who? The righteous. Verse 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So let me ask you this question. Now you got to think carefully about this. Take some time to think about it if you need to. Would you rather have God smiling at you or frowning at you? Take some time now. Had enough time? Yeah, me too. I want God to be smiling. And I know that I can have that blessing if I am trying to live a righteous life. And again, we're not saying perfect. The Bible is very clear. We're not going to be perfect in the flesh. But my determination in life is to try to do what is right in the sight of God. Look in James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. We just read there in Psalm 34 that the ears of the Lord are open to the cry of the righteous. James agrees with that. Here's what he says. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Sometimes we wonder, does God listen to my prayer? Does it have any effect on God? And that's exactly the point James is trying to make. Yes, God listens. And if I can say, I'm trying to do what's right, I'm trying to live the way the Lord teaches me, that prayer has great power. And of course, James mentioned other things in chapter 1, having faith and no doubt that God will act. But the point is, prayer does make a difference when the person is righteous. And let's look at one other statement here by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Does it matter if I'm trying to live a righteous life? Here's what Jesus said. He'd just been talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about those things. How can you say that, Lord? Because of this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first, not just the kingdom of God, but also his righteousness. And all these things, that is food, clothing, shelter, all the things that we need in life, God will make sure that we have them. So does it matter if we try to live a righteous life? You've heard the passages. What do you think? I think it's very clear. It makes a big difference to God. And let's make one clarification here in case you're wondering. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, this helps us to understand what do we mean that a person is righteous. John says this, 1 John 3, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. And you may think, well, duh. Yeah, that's important. That's profound. Because there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm a righteous person. And yet look at their lives. And there may be things they're doing or not doing that are out of line with what the Word of God teaches. He that practices righteousness is righteous. Not just the one that says they're righteous. And so this really is the key that unlocks the treasures of God's promises. For a person to say, I'm going to live a life of righteousness, that's going to make all the difference with the promises of God. And in how we enjoy life, that's another thing we could talk about. But the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Now let's move on to the second point. And that is to learn righteousness. We must go back to the Bible. There's that theme that we're talking about this year, back to the Bible. And to learn righteousness, we must go back to the Bible. Now, by now, we should be convinced, I need to be righteous. If that's the key that unlocks all the blessings, well, then I'd better learn. And that's exactly the point. But how do we learn? Let's go to the passage Steve read for us earlier from Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 11 through 14 again. And we're going to talk about learning from the King of Righteousness. The King of Righteousness. Now, how do we do that? Well, as Steve pointed out, the writer of Hebrews have been talking about Melchizedek. Melchizedek is kind of a shadowy figure in the book of Genesis. But there's a lot of things to learn from him, and that's what this writer is trying to do. So listen to what he says now again in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. About this, about Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. I mean, I could explain it to you, but you're not really listening closely. You're not really trying to learn. You become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And you get what the writer is saying there? He's saying there are some Christians in the past, don't know that there's anybody like this today, but some Christians in the past have been lazy when it comes to learning. They are content to just dwell with milk. That's good enough for me. Just give me the easy stuff, the simple stuff. I don't really want to work at learning more. And the writer says, you're not going to learn what is really important in life. And you need to have that milk of the word. And did you notice there, he said in verse 13 again, this is the word of righteousness. Talking about scripture generally, that's why God gave it to us. And I want you to understand, this man Melchizedek, we learn from Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2, his name means King of Righteousness. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. The name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And we're really talking about Jesus, the writer says. So are we learning from the King of Righteousness? And how odd is it that some people might say, well, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to spend much time learning. Really? He's the King of Righteousness. This is the Word of Righteousness. And we don't want to take time to learn and to grow in our understanding of the Word of God? That just doesn't make a lot of sense. And so what we have is an imperative to learn from the Word of God. Let's look at some passages very quickly that say that. Psalm 119, verse 7. Psalm 119, verse 7. And you probably know Psalm 119. Has anybody in here ever memorized Psalm 119? I'd like to meet you if you have. There's 176 verses in that one psalm. I doubt it. But you probably know almost every verse in that psalm says something about the Word of God, whether it be statutes or laws or commandments or whatever it may be, it is dedicated to praising the Word of God. Now look at what it says in Psalm 119 and verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when there's a condition. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. And what that says to me is that until I learn those upright rules, and the implication is I'm going to practice them, then can I really praise him with an upright heart? Well, there is a grace period there. You know, we're children, we're growing in our understanding. It will take time for us to learn, but learning is imperative. It is something that we've got to do. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And listen to what Paul there says about the gospel. We know the gospel is important. He gives us a very powerful reason for saying that. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So why is it that the gospel is so important? In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. And if you're not making an effort to know the gospel better on a regular basis, how do you know that righteousness? And how can you live it if you don't know it? You've got to have a desire, a hunger, and a thirst to grow in your understanding of the Word of God. And let me give you a quick demonstration of what that means. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verses 18 through 21. And just note, here is an example of learning righteousness. Romans chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. We could look at a whole lot of other passages. I'm just choosing this as kind of sampler, like Chick-fil-A used to do in the mall. You know, here, try one of these. Oh, I like that. Let me have some more. You'll have to pay for them. Well, here, you don't have to pay, but let me whet your appetite, because this is what he says about righteousness. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. That's righteousness. Making the attempt to live peaceably with others. Verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we never struggle with that, do we? If somebody, you know, does something bad toward us, we never have this feeling of, oh, I'm going to get them back. Righteousness says, don't avenge yourselves. Leave it to God. Look at verse 20. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And again, is that the way the world teaches us? Do we learn that in the world by turning on, you know, popular television, watching the late night shows or the series that are on? Do we learn those things? Not in the world, we don't. It's in the Word of God. That's righteousness. And we're not going to know what righteousness is if we never read the Word of God or rarely read it. And then in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Look at the life of Jesus. That's a great commentary on that one verse. Overcome evil with good. And so if you really want to know, what does it mean to learn righteousness and to be righteous? Well, there's lots of passages like that where we find out the way we were taught by the world is not righteous. And that will not unlock the blessings of God. But when I listen to his word, and when I walk in that knowledge, God's blessings will be upon me. So why has God given us the Bible? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. How many times have you heard this? But listen again. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. If you've ever started a new job, and I think most of you have at one time or another, you probably had a period of training. Well, we're living a life that is meant to be a life of righteousness. So how do we know what to do? The Bible. That's why scripture was given to us. It is profitable for training in righteousness. Now, it may be true that that Kentucky Colonel citation on my wall is merely a decoration. It really has no great value. But to be righteous, God sees that hanging on my heart. He pays attention. He says, there's somebody that believes me. There's somebody that knows how important it is to be righteous. And they're spending time learning what righteousness is and then doing their best to practice righteousness. And so it's time for each of us to look at ourselves and ask, how serious am I about learning righteousness? Do I give this the emphasis it deserves? Or is this just an afterthought? When I've got a little extra time and I can't find anything else to do, I'll read something in the Bible. Do I take advantage of the opportunities provided by our elders here to come and study with others? Because there's so much value in small group Bible studies, whether it be here at the building or wherever it may be, because we learn from each other. Oh, I never looked at it that way. I see what you're saying. That helps me to understand better what value there is. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I really walking in the light? Am I trying to learn God's righteousness? Today, maybe you need to obey the gospel. That's what the Bible teaches for those who are in sin. And if you've never done that, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's step number one. You've heard the facts. Do you believe them? Secondly, are you willing to turn away from your sins now that you know Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, and repent of them? And will you confess him before others, beginning right here and all the way throughout your life? I will confess him. I will never be ashamed of him. And today, will you be willing to put him on in baptism, something Jesus himself commanded in Mark 16:16, Matthew 28, verse 20? Are you willing to do that? And if you're willing, then you'll leave this building a child of God, forgiven, a part of the kingdom. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful? Or do you need to confess sin in your life and pray for forgiveness? If we can help in any way, please come as we stand together and sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
It's apparent to all of us that Seth has a very special place in his heart for his friends. He loves his friends, he thinks of them, and they're important to him. And he has a friend he wants us to pray for, going through some health problems. There are other conditions in her life that he's concerned about, and he's really worried about her. And also, as he's shared before, he has a long-lasting struggle with feeling good about himself, and he can be confused. And, you know, he wants to be able to stop worrying. He wants to be able to have the peace that's found in the Lord. And I respect that. And I think that's something that all of us can be praying about every day of our lives, because Seth is not the only person in this room who worries. So let's go to the Father in prayer, and we will grant his request for prayer. Father, thank you so much for Seth, and thank you for the heart he has for others. And we ask you to be with his friends in a very special way. They're not well. And the fact that they're not well is a burden on his heart. And so we ask your power in their lives. Father, we also ask you to be with Seth, to give him peace so that he isn't filled with so much worry and fear and confusion. You've made him wonderfully well, Father, and we ask you to help him feel good about who he is in you, that you are a treasured child of his, and there's really nothing more important. Father, we ask that for ourselves too. Many of us struggle with who we are and with ways that we may not measure up. And so, in following Seth's example, Father, I pray that for all of us that we will find peace in who we are because we are in you. Thank you so much for this avenue of prayer, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 374. Number 374, if you're using a hymn book. There is a fountain.
Lose all.
Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. As I was preparing last night for this, the words really struck me in chapter 53, verse 4, about the Lord's Supper and the event that occurred that Christ wants us to remember. So beginning in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us. Would you bow with me as we partake of the bread? Father, now as we partake of the bread, we remember thy body that was crushed on the cross, as we read about. Father, let us focus on the sacrifice that was made for us. May we take it in a manner well-pleasing to thee, in Christ's name. Amen. Let us bow again. Father, we thank you for this sacrifice, for the blood that covers our sins. For as we read, Father, we know we all have sinned and come short of your glory. Now as we partake of this cup, may we do so in a manner pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. Let us also bow as we give back as we've been prospered. Father, now as we take up of the blessings that we've each been blessed with, Father, we give back to you. Father, we pray for the word will be spread throughout this area. We ask you to be with the ones that have decision over these funds. May they be used to reach many more souls, Father. We thank you for all your blessings. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray. Father and God, we thank you so much for the great opportunities that we've had today to hear your word proclaimed. and to be strengthened in the word. Thank you so much for so many blessings. Bless us as we leave this building, and thank you that we can come back again this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements that we have to make. Please pick up your communion cups and put them in the trash as you leave. We're collecting pantry items in memory of Irene Norton, who passed away last fall. Items are listed in the bulletin and can be placed in the container outside the main auditorium through March 12th. Ladies, please register for the annual Ladies' Day that is planned for Saturday, April 1st. Young ladies are invited to a Bible study the evening before with the guest speaker, Celine Sparks. Details can be found on our website and on our announcements board of the lobby. The following events are taking place over the next week. Dad's Prayer Breakfast, March 7th at Eggs Up Grill. Dorcas Group, March 8th at 1 p.m. Retired Men's Breakfast, March 14th at 9 a.m. Redbird's Luncheon, March 14th at Ming's Asian Cuisine. Please remember these in prayer.